On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state's powerful budget rating committee, the Joint Committee on Finance, announced its public hearing schedule on the state budget set for next month. The aim is to gather comments on what residents want prioritized in spending. The hearings, they kick off in Whitewater with three in-person events, one virtual, none, by the way, in Milwaukee. Should the legislature approve the governor's $91 billion budget plan? What parts do you support? What needs to change before the legislation reaches the governor's desk? It's 800-642-1234. LaTanya Johnson is a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee, representing residents from downtown Milwaukee to the city's western neighborhoods. She's a member of the Joint Finance Committee. State Senator Johnson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Well, before we get to the budget, first let's talk vaccines. Milwaukee County is still lagging well behind most of the state when it comes to the percentage of residents who've received their first COVID dose. Why is Milwaukee so behind on shots into arms?
You know, I think it has a lot to do with the protocols, with the number of individuals that have been approved to take the shots, and also just the large statistical size, making sure that we can get people in for those appointments, and making sure that once we get them in, it's recorded. I've heard a lot of people who are not basically frontline workers or essential workers who are saying they're just waiting their turn to get the shots. So as soon as more shots become available, I assume that we'll see those numbers escalate and take off.
I'm wondering what you think of Wisconsin's vaccine distribution formula. We saw, as you mentioned, the state prioritizing vaccines for teachers and other workers before, you know, people with medical conditions that put them at risk. Do you agree with the formula?
I do agree that the formula was a little bit, well, it was business heavy. Of course, we needed our frontline workers to be vaccinated, you know, in the beginning. But the second batch, because it includes teachers, child care providers, all frontline workers, including those that work in grocery stores, it's a larger percentage of individuals. And so we have to get those vaccinated first before we can move on to the third phase. It's essential that we get our teachers vaccinated. We have to get the schools open back up. And although they say that, you know, the vaccinations are not needed to safely open the schools, I can understand our teachers wanting to be safe before they go back into the classroom, especially encountering so many children, and especially in large metropolitan areas like Milwaukee, where, you know, those classes were packed to the rims before COVID-19, and you're going to have the same kids coming back. There's no additional space for them to isolate those kids or to safely social distance because the rooms are so crowded and you only have a certain amount of teachers. So making sure that they can safely reopen is extremely important. We do want to get to those individuals, especially those with pre-existing conditions. Unfortunately, this batch that we have now is just going to take a little extra time because the numbers are so large.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Milwaukee State Senator LaTanya Johnson, Democratic member of the legislature's Budget Writing Committee. We're going to be looking here at the budget. You can join in with what you would like to see, 800-642-1234. Let's look closely at this upcoming budget. What are your top line priorities for the next budget?
It's a $91 billion budget. Let's first start there. So the budget is extremely big. Some of the priorities that I'm looking forward to trying to defend and keep in the budget is the money for education. It maintains the two-third state funding promise, but it also adds an additional $750 per pupil for all students. But for those schools that are economically challenged or come from disadvantaged communities, it adds an additional $75 per pupil for each disadvantaged student, that's important, especially in communities where families are having to send their kids out to school outside of the community for a quality education. We all know that there are differences in between our school systems, especially when you come from Milwaukee Public Schools versus Mequon Public Schools. There's a huge disparity because, for example, in some of the zip codes, one of the zip codes that I represent, 53206, the median resale value of a home in that area is just $4,300. So poverty is very rampant in that area. So making sure that we can start to begin to give these kids some type of equitable education is important. But it also includes $54 million in the educational fund for student mental health programs and supports. And that's extremely, extremely important because of COVID-19. We knew that our students were seeing mental health issues before the pandemic, but now those have just been exacerbated. But also for higher education, expanding Bucky's Promise. Bucky's Promise will allow kids, young adults, to go to college for free at any UW system if your parents earn under $60,000 a year. That's extremely, extremely important for Wisconsin, being able to allow those students to go to college for free. Now, it just covers tuition and segregated fees, but and that's after federal aid, but that still provides opportunities for those kids who don't have the resources to go. So those are some of the things that I'm just really, really excited to see in this budget, and I hope has the opportunity to stay.
State Senator LaTonya Johnson, I want to circle back to what you just said there on the outset, that this $91 billion budget is extremely big. Is that worrisome to you? Is that worrisome that by the end of the biennium, the state would spend nearly all its $1.9 billion in reserves on this budget?
No, it doesn't bother me because there are certain things that we can do to garner additional dollars from the federal government. For example, by expanding BadgerCare, if we expanded BadgerCare, the state would save $630 million that we're paying out in state taxpayer funds. And this is money that our constituents have already paid into the system that would come back that could be utilized to help pay for some of these items. And it's also been discovered that by expanding BadgerCare, not only would we save taxpayers the $630 million, but we would get an additional $1 billion in federal funding over the next 2 years if we just expand BadgerCare. So we can't be concerned about, you know, spending our state's budget if we're willing to leave $1.6 billion on the table. And that's the frustrating thing for me as a Democrat, is to see all of this money on the table that my Republican colleagues are just acting like it doesn't exist.
One of your Republican colleagues, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, in the Assembly, says this is a non-starter. And so, you know, the savings would be temporary. What is the reasoning that the higher reimbursement rate may be not there in the days in the future? Why else are your Republican colleagues holding back on expansion?
Well, that's an excellent question, because they have been saying that this was a temporary fix ever since Obamacare first came into existence. And we see that states continue to get reimbursed for those costs. Up to 38 states, I believe, have expanded their Medicaid program. Not to mention, we're in a pandemic. It would offer over 90,000 more people insurance that wouldn't qualify now and are probably paying out of pocket or just simply don't have coverage. They keep using the same excuse, and it's time out for that excuse, because we can't afford to keep leaving this money on the table what I've noticed about my Republican colleagues is that if you are in need and you are a constituent and, you know, you're economically disadvantaged, it's almost as if you're invisible. There is no interest in trying to help you basically be able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And it's unfortunate, it's aggravating, and it's infuriating because this state cannot afford to leave $1.6 billion on the table.
We're talking with State Senator LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee. What kind of help are you seeking from the state government this year? What are your top priorities for elected officials? What are our state's greatest challenges ahead, and what will it cost to fix them? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers' proposed 2021 to 2023 state budget includes accepting a federally funded expansion of Medicaid, as we've been talking about. Last week, the legislature's Joint Finance Committee requested the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau provide an estimate of the incentive money Wisconsin would receive under the new American Rescue Plan. And the memo says Wisconsin would get just over an additional $1 billion over 2 years if we would go with the expansion. What is your take on this? Do you live in Milwaukee? What questions do you have for State Senator LaTanya Johnson? 800-642-1234. And State Senator Johnson is with us for 10 more minutes. The governor unveiled his budget plan weeks before President Biden on Thursday signed the nearly $2 trillion relief package. How much does the relief package change your priorities for the state budget?
You know, it changes my priority for the state budget just somewhat, because Governor Evers did an excellent job by creating the people's budget, talking to people virtually, organizations, trying to figure out what the state needed. Now, in the $5 billion that we're going to get through the American Rescue Package Act, we'll get $5 billion, but $3 billion will be allocated to the governor to spend solely on his own regard for what he sees that is most important for Wisconsin. For example, this is one-time money to help our state recover from the pandemic, to vaccinate our population, to improve our public health infrastructure, to help make our schools safe. And so this money will be able to be allocated at his discretion, which is exceptionally nice, because then he doesn't have to come to the legislature and ask for permission from the Joint Finance Committee to distribute the money, which makes it so much easier for his administration to do what's necessary for the people of Wisconsin. So I'm exceptionally happy about that. Because we have seen the Joint Finance Committee drag its feet on dollars that the governor has requested in previous sessions. So this just makes his job a lot easier.
Along those lines, Republicans are pushing for the legislature to have more control, to have more say over the new federal relief aid dollars. What are your thoughts on that idea?
I think it's a horrible idea, because we've seen what the Joint Finance Committee has done with the dollars that we're in charge of. Never before has the Joint Finance Committee wanted to have so much control over spending until Governor Evers was elected. And a lot of the decisions that Governor Evers has made to try and bring more federal dollars into the state, he's gotten pushback along the way. For example, before the legislature met during the pandemic last year to remove the one-week waiting period for unemployment benefits, my Republican colleagues in leadership dragged their feet before they brought us back in session. And the state missed out on $25 million that could have been spent to help prolong the benefits or to help pay more individuals, that were having to rely on unemployment were leaving $1.6 billion even right now on the table by not expanding BadgerCare. My Republican-led colleagues continue to show that physical conservative for them is just being plain stupid when it comes to taxpayer dollars. And so not allowing Governor Evers to have to rely on what they feel is important for Wisconsinites is extremely important in order to get more people in the state the assistance and the help that they need to recover from this pandemic.
Going back to crafting the state budget here for just a moment, the Joint Finance Committee announced its budget hearings, where they will be, when they're scheduled next month. None of the hearings are in Milwaukee. How did you react to that?
At first there was disgust, there was anger, but, you know, I understand. And the reason that I say that I understand, it's not safe right now for us to have large gatherings and, you know, rooms not big enough to hold all of these people and allow them to be social distance. Even though there's a mask mandate in the state capitol, my Republican colleagues don't abide by that. So you know that there are going to be people who show up that are not going to be masked, and that just puts the public more at risk. So those virtual, everything, to be honest, should be virtual in order to keep the community safe. But unfortunately, my colleagues have, you know, made some of these hearings in person, and so that's the frustrating part. If there was a hearing in Milwaukee, no doubt those hearings would be packed. And that puts the community more at risk, especially for areas where we have large communities of colors that are most predispositioned and vulnerable to this pandemic. I would rather go to these virtual meetings rather than have, you know, so many of our vulnerable members from Milwaukee show up to these meetings. I'd rather risk my safety than having to risk so many of theirs. So until everyone can get vaccinated, until we can make sure that everyone is masked and, you know, remaining a safe environment for their neighbors, I'm happy that we're not hosting a meeting in Milwaukee. I just feel that it's for the safety of my constituents.
We're talking about state politics with Democratic State Senator LaTanya Johnson on the line, who represents portions of Milwaukee. Still time for your questions, 800-642-1234. State Senator, Governor Evers says schools should consider summer classes or starting classes earlier this fall to help students catch up from all of the pandemic learning loss. What would you support happening for Milwaukee public schools?
I do agree that our children are going to be in desperate need of summer school in order to recover. You know, virtual learning has been a challenge for everybody, from the students to the parents. I know Milwaukee Public Schools normally anticipates about 7,000 kids for summer school, and this year they're expecting about 23,000, especially for our children of color. We know that they lag behind in terms of the educational gap. So being able to make sure that we can provide those services to catch our kids up is extremely, extremely important. And so I want to see summer school go forward. I want to see those children be able to be in a classroom, you know, because the educational divide is so wide for our kids of color. Now, the concern for a lot of the parents is that you do have parents that are afraid to send their kids back to school for all, you know, justifiable reasons, especially kids of color, because the parents can't afford, due to pre-existing conditions or work concerns, to be infected with the virus. So we have to make sure that we provide the resources necessary, the vaccinations, the healthcare coverage that these families are going to need in order to recover from this pandemic, but most importantly, in order to trust that the government will be there and able to help provide services if those families are inflicted.
State Senator, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and you have a wonderful day.
You too. LaTanya Johnson is a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee. She represents residents from downtown Milwaukee to the city's western neighborhoods, first elected to the state senate in 2016. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with a representative from the Public Service Commission to discuss high-speed internet expansion. Do you have adequate internet options where you live? 800-642-1234 to join in on broadband. We'll get back to State Cap right after this news update here on the Ideas Network.